We're on Perek Ches, chapter 8, the Derech Knias HaZrizus. Having talked about the importance of diligence, he's going to say a few words about how this trait is acquired. And he states, Hine Amtsoim Asher Niknevem HaZrizus, the methods by which one can acquire this desirable trait of diligence, heim heim oisam ashaniknabem azirus, are the very same ones that we discussed earlier when we talked about the first trait of watchfulness. Umadregoisehem kemadregoisehem. Their various levels are like the levels that we talked about earlier. Now, earlier when he talked about how one acquires the trait of watchfulness, he mentioned that there are several traits depending on various levels of individuals with their degree of understanding. The one who understands that the purpose in life is to achieve perfection is motivated by the highest level. One who does not understand that abstraction will nevertheless understand that in the world to come there will be rewards, and how can a person who is unable to tolerate someone else who is inferior to him in earthly things, superseding him and achieving greater success, a person is hurt by jealousy and envy of someone who has surpassed him, how is he going to feel in the world to come when, as a result of his own laxity, he does not achieve a status which others who were of lesser stature than him now achieve. This is something that if you go back to previous discussions, you will find these levels. And finally, the last level, to be motivated only by the palpable consequences of proper and improper behavior. This is the various same things apply here also. They are very similar. The concept of watchfulness and the concepts of diligence in that respect are similar. Actually, the only difference between the two is Zeba S and Zeba Lamed. Watchfulness is a trait that we talked about on how one is to prevent doing harmful actions, that is, things that are prohibited. And Zrizus, or diligence, refers to doing the diligence in doing positive actions, that which is required of one. This is the motivation, the levels of motivation for one are the same as the level of motivations for the other. When a person comes to realize the truth of the enormous value of mitzvahs and how a person is obligated to do them, and if a person comes to this understanding, to that degree, then he will be aroused, his heart will be aroused to serve Hashem v'leis, and he will not weaken and be lax in it. The omnam, however, one thing that I do want to add on, as far as positive mitzvahs are concerned, the intensity of one's arousal to do mitzvahs can be increased by if a person realizes the enormous kindnesses that Hashem is doing with him every moment of the day, and the great wonders that Hashem does for a person from his birth until his very last day, then the more a person meditates and gives consideration and thinks about this, Hine yabe lahakel la'asmechoy v'rabba l'kei la'metiv loy. He'll come to realize, the greater he will come to realize, the more he will come to understand his sense of obligation and being duty-bound to follow the dictates of Hashem. V'yiyah elam emtsoim, this can then be a helpful method, shelo yisatsu v'yishape me'avodosoy, that he should not be lax in his service of Hashem, inasmuch as it's absolutely impossible for a person to repay Hashem for the kindnesses that Hashem has done for him. Lefochos, at the very least, yoida lishmai v'kai mitzvos, at the very least he can do is express his gratitude to Hashem by following the mitzvahs of Hashem. Now, the Medrash says, Hoidul Hashem ki toiv ki li'olam chazda, that we should be grateful to Hashem for his kindnesses are forever enduring. And then we say in that chapter, La'oisei neflois gidoilos levadoi, that Hashem does great wonders alone, levadoi. So the Midrash says, what does it mean that he does wonders alone? Of course he does wonders alone. Hashem doesn't need anybody's assistance to do anything. So the Midrash says, by means alone means that they are wondrous actions known to only Hashem himself, because the human being doesn't understand them. Ein bal hanes makya b'nisa. The person who is the beneficiary of a miracle may not even realize that a miracle was done for him. So that we can plod along in an average day and not realize that multiple times during the day Hashem has intervened in our behalf, and we simply think that this is the way things go and it's natural, and without realizing that there are multiple times that Hashem has protected us. So Ein Bal Hanes Makim B'Nisa, we are constantly beneficiaries of the kindnesses of Hashem. I have found that in working with people who are recovering from addiction, that their focus on this is often higher than in people who've never gone through that experience, and they will very often point out how have a sensitivity to point out how things have happened that they never realized before was Hashem intervening in their behalf. So he says, if a person will take time out to focus a little more on the kinds of things that are happening to him, and at least realize, if not in actual recognition, but of having an understanding that this is so, then he will likely be more duty-bound to express gratitude to Hashem and to follow the mitzvahs of Hashem. And the reasoning behind this is not only in terms of a sense of gratitude, but inasmuch as a person should understand that the mitzvahs that we are given are not to benefit Hashem in any way, but to benefit ourselves. And if a person will realize, and the greater that a person has an understanding that Hashem works in his behalf, in one's own behalf, in the person's behalf, the greater one is likely to realize that performing the mitzvahs is also in one's own behalf, and it's not for the benefit of Hashem that we are doing the things that we are supposed to. And he goes on to say, "V'hinei ein loch odam be'ezam asav shi'imotze." There is no person, regardless of what his circumstances may be, imoni v'imosha, whether he's rich or poor, imbori v'imchayla, whether he's healthy or sick, shelo yira niflois v'tovis rabis v'matzole, that would not, that should be unable to see the kindnesses that are happening to him. And everyone in his own way could discover Hashem is providing for him. Kihi osho v'habori, the person who is well and the person who is well-to-do, certainly kvahu chayev le'izboruch al osho v'habiyosei, certainly indebted to Hashem for the kindnesses that he has given him. Heyoni chayev loy, but even the poor person should have a gratitude. Shafilu ba'onyo, that even in his state of poverty, mamziloi panasosoi da'achnes v'fela, that Hashem provides for him in many wondrous ways, and does not allow him to die in hunger. Now, in Derech Hashem, he says, look, it's, in the other work that he says, there's no way that we can understand as to why Hashem has decreed that one person should be affluent and the other person should be impoverished. He says, there's a system of justice which requires everything that happens, and that's beyond our capacity to fully understand. However, given the way things are supposed to be, the person who is impoverished, one would say, well, look, if Hashem wants to give kindness to him, so let him win the lottery and let him be able to drive a luxury car. And the answer to that is, look, in the system, for whatever it is, that person was destined to experience poverty. However, in his poverty, which for whatever reason necessary, there are many kindnesses that Hashem does to sustain him through that. Similarly,
yeah, but how can we say that Hashem intervenes when, in fact, the poverty comes from Hashem the same as the intervention, the illness comes from Hashem the same as the cure?
Right.
I mean, he's not a matter of intervening.
Yeah. Last week I had a little surgical procedure, right, which was necessary. I would have very much liked to avoid it, but it was necessary. And I was very grateful that the doctor was able to give me the local anesthetic, without which I would have had to experience what they did before local anesthesia. Because before local anesthesia, things were done and the person suffered. And you tied him down and he went through it. So he gave me local anesthetic so that the thing could be done, which I didn't want done in the first place, but I had to have it done. I was able to be done without any pain. And later on, the doctor was able to give me something that, as long as the after effects of the pain were there, a medication to take the pain away. So I was very grateful that since I had to go through this procedure, and the doctor was the one who was doing it, that he also provided a method to go.
Right, but he wasn't intervening.
No, he was intervening from the beginning to the end. Right. He did the surgical procedure, which was necessary.
Right.
Now, therefore, Hashem's system of justice decrees that this person has to experience poverty. Why? That's beyond us to know. Given that, the question is, how is he going to experience his poverty? Hasidic rabbis, when he was a child, asked, it says that a person who is awake all night studying Torah, chutz shel chesed moshe chalov, has a special grace given to him by Hashem. So he said he sees many of the scholars sitting in Torah, studying Torah all night, and yet they are very much impoverished, and they live a life in deprivation. And he says, so where is the chesed? Where is the chesed that Hashem is giving them? Right. He says, later on he got to realize that these people survive the next day. They survive in their poverty, and they can learn the next day, and they can learn the next night. And he says, that's the chesed that Hashem has given them. So, in other words, for whatever reason, a person has to experience deprivation, which we cannot possibly understand. Even in those circumstances, Hashem intervenes to make it as bearable as possible and to give him the strength to survive it. I think it was the Sakhna Rebbe that said, we say in Baruch Shema, Baruch Goyzer u'mekayim, that Hashem decrees u'mekayim and fulfills, right? And that's a praise of Hashem that he fulfills that which he decrees. Of course he fulfills that which he decrees. So he says u'mekayim means sustains. Hashem sometimes comes out with a gzeira, which is unpleasant for a person. Umekayim, he gives the person the capacity to survive it. Now, better would be that there should be no gzeira, of course. Right? But even when there is a necessity for a person to experience a unpleasant gzeira, Hashem provides him with the capacity to survive it. So he says, look, even in these unpleasant circumstances, and even in distress, a person should realize that he is a recipient of Chesed Hashem. And even a choyle, even a sick person, that Hashem allows him to survive and to be able to withstand the severity and the discomfort of his illness, and does not allow him to deteriorate further and to die, and other similar circumstances, there is really no person that can not find himself in some way or other indebted to Hashem. And if a person will focus on the kindnesses that he receives from Hashem, that can arouse him to be more diligent in service of Hashem, commissioning himself to the Mila. Kolshkein, certainly in Yisboinin, Hayyos, Kol Tuva Talabiyada Yisborach, if he realizes, the more he realizes, that all of his good depends upon Hashem. Umashem Yisborach Lo, Mashem Uchach Elev Emeni Yisborach. Everything that he has and everything, all of his needs, are going to come from Hashem, Velayim Acher, and not from anyone else. Asher Al Kein, Vadai Shalei Yisatzel, Mahab, Veid Avedos Yisborach. That he will certainly not be lax in the service of Hashem, in order not to lack that which is necessary for him to survive. So you can now see that I have included in the three categories here, which I talked about previously when we talked about watchfulness, that they can also apply to diligence, because they are really the same. And one can compare and learn from there. That for those of the highest level, that people of the highest level of awareness will understand that they are obligated to do so, and the great value of doing these mitzvahs. Labchusim, and for people of a lesser degree, the motivation will come inside the olam habo chvoido, the reward that they will get in the world to come. Shalai tasigeo bushaliyo magmul, that a person should not be embarrassed on the ultimate day of reward. Have to realize how much he could have gotten, and yet he lost it by through his laxity. And for people of even lesser stature, mitzad oylam azal, simply to be aware of the good and the evil that follows from either observing the mitzvahs or neglecting them, as we talked about earlier. Chapter 9, Bever Mafside Azrizos Vachalkamahan. What kind of things will detract from diligence and cause a person to not develop this trait? Hine Mafside Azrizos, the things that will detract from diligence, Heim Heim Magdile Ha'atzla, those things which, in opposition to diligence, will promote indolence and laziness. V'hagodol shebikulam, the greatest of these, he by koshers, hamanucha, gufis, is the pursuit of physical relaxation and rest. V'sinas ha'terach, and the person who despises effort, The Ahavas Oedunim, the person who just loves to indulge, the Tashlum Kolten Ayim, in fulfilling all of the gratifications, all of his physical gratifications. He says the greatest distraction, detraction from diligence is the pursuit, is hedonism, the pursuit of pleasure. Certainly, this is going to make it very difficult for a person to do the proper service of Hashem. A person who wants to eat gourmet foods with the ultimate pleasure and relaxation and absence of all distress, and he wants to be able to sleep peacefully without any bother, and he doesn't want to have to walk fast and make any exertion, but just to be able to take things at his own slow pace, whichever is more comfortable and pleasant for him and convenient. Similar to these things, any person who seeks that as his motivation, he's not going to be able to arise early in the morning to get to shul in time, or to interrupt his sumptuous meal if it comes the time to daven mincha, or to go out and do an important mitzvah, unless the time is just very comfortable and convenient for him to do it. Koskin certainly in a maher asmoy to hasten himself to divrei mitzvah, the Talmud Torah, to do mitzvahs or to study Torah. Very clearly, the person whose prime goal is to indulge himself is going to find it very difficult to do anything which is going to take him away from his indulgence. Umi shemargil atzmoy limenhogisela. If a person allows himself to get into the habit of physical indulgences, this is an important statement. A nenu odoin ba'atzmoy is no longer master over himself, lasses hepach zekeshiyotze, to do the opposite of what he wants. Because he has become bound and imprisoned by habits which have become a second nature. Now, the ultimate in this is to watch what happens when a person becomes addicted. Right? He becomes an absolute slave. There is just nothing that he will never do. Now, I've heard people say, when I drank alcohol, drank, but I'm not going to be a junkie. I would never use drugs. Well, then I picked up marijuana. Well, you know, marijuana, well, it's pot. It's really not a hard drug. But I would never use hard drugs. And then when I started using hard drugs, well, I snorted them. I took pills, but I was never going to put a needle in my arm. Never. And then when I started shooting drugs, I wasn't going to be a junkie like the other junkies who steal for drugs. I would never steal. And then ended up stealing for drugs. And they give you a list of I nevers, which all fell by the wayside. And the reason for that is, if you become addicted, there is no such thing saying, I will never do anything. Because a person who is an addict becomes a slave to the addiction, and he does whatever the addiction tells him to do, and he loses his own will. And this is true whether the indulgence is an addictive kind of thing of gambling or chemicals or food or whatever, or if a person allows himself to become a slave to any kind of habit. He is no longer master over himself, and he loses his freedom. And people who value their freedom, people who value liberty, are actually hypocritical when they value liberty and allow themselves to become slaves to their own passions. Animals are slaves to their passions. An animal cannot get up in the morning and say, I am going to fast today, because an animal must do that which his body tells him to do. A person has the capacity of overcoming a physical desire. And people who do not develop the capacity to overcome physical desires and give themselves to passions are totally lose their freedom and are slaves. And what he's saying here is, in terms of diligence, that if one allows physical gratifications to rule and dominate oneself, one totally loses his mastery and is no longer free to do that which one may understand one should do. To be continued. In continuing the discussion of the kinds of things which can detract a person from diligence, he said that the most serious distraction is the desire for physical peace, freedom from all kinds of stress, indulgence in physical pleasures, and when this becomes an individual's second nature, he says it's extremely difficult to overcome, and the individual essentially loses control over himself because his habits rule over him. V'omnam tzolich sheyeda ha'adam. When we talk about the mistake of trying to escape from stress, he says it's important that a person should know that he was not put in this world in order to bask in peace and tranquility and nirvana. That was not the purpose. He was put in this world in order to labor and to exert oneself. And a person should not conduct himself otherwise than a worker who is hired to do a job and has an assignment that he is supposed to accomplish. As the Talmud says, Agira de Yoyma Anan, we are to consider ourselves day laborers. Now, a day laborer certainly has the right to take time off for lunch and maybe for a few minutes rest and whatever is necessary in order to allow him to be able to function optimally. But he was not put there to rest. He was put there to work, and he is accountable for every moment of the day. And the resting and the lunch and the coffee breaks are all fine if they are part of the work day and contribute to optimal functioning. But as a day laborer, or perhaps one compare oneself to a soldier who, when he goes out to the battlefront, again has a job to do. They do not waste time at meals. They eat in order to eat and to get nutrition. But it does not become a feast at which they lay around on the couches as they did in the old days. Ushinosam arai, and their sleep is the kind of a sleep that one can get at the front, where one grabs enough sleep in order to be able to sufficiently rested, to be alert, to be able to do the job. However, they are always in a state of readiness to do battle. And that's the kind of attitude that a person should consider himself in this world. He is there for a purpose. He is there to overcome a struggle, to be ready at all times and alert at all times. Now, obviously, in order to do this, which is a struggle for fulfilling Torah mitzvahs, there are certain necessities that one must have, and that is proper nutrition, proper rest, proper relaxation, even proper amusement for proper mental health. All of that is necessary. Yeah. But it must be with a cheshbon, it must be calculated, because a person is accountable for everything. But I want to enjoy myself. I am here to have a good time. That does not belong in a serious Jewish outlook. So the TGIF, or TG, as the signs say on the liquor advertisement, TGI5, right? And indicating that one is waiting for the end of the day, so that one works all day in order to be able to drink at 5 or whatever. That is not the outlook. Henry? Go ahead, John Richard.
I saw that sign the other morning on a billboard going to work, and I wonder what it was. I had no idea.
It never occurred
to me what it was. I thought maybe they made 5 pints of liquor or 5 stars or something. I had no idea.
I was right with you.
Well, TGI5 is a liquor advertisement saying that one prays for it to be 5 o'clock, so that one can indulge in alcohol. And whether it's alcohol or anything else is immaterial. It is the whole reversal of the concept of what is the means and what is the end. The goal is the assignment. The goal is the struggle that we're supposed to go through in life and fulfilling Torah mitzvahs, and all else must be subject to that ultimate goal. And he says, if one has that attitude, this is why it says in Eiv, ki adam la'amal yulad, a man is born to labor, not in order to rest. We weren't put here to be in an amusement park. And if one has that attitude, if one accustoms himself to think and feel this way, then yinzo avoide kal olavadai, then he will find the service of Hashem much simpler to achieve. Kimishela yachso ba'atzmai hazmanava achona elal, it will not take an extra degree of preparation to tear himself away from his repose and from his tranquility and from whatever, in order to do the service of Hashem, because even when he is resting and even when he is relaxing, it is in a state of preparedness to be able to use his energies properly. This is why the Talmud says, "Kachi darko shel Torah." This is the way to observe and to study Torah. Pas bamelech toichel, eat bread with salt, mayim bamsucho tishta, drink water by measure, v'ala oros tishan, and sleep upon the ground, meaning set yourself the minimum standards necessary for healthy survival. Shehu klal ha'alchoka betachlis min ha'memnuchos ve'idunim, and by that, they do not literally mean, of course, that a person should eat only bread and water and sleep on the ground, but set yourself the minimum standards for optimum functioning, and remove yourself from the hedonistic concepts that life is meant to be thoroughly enjoyed by indulgence. The enjoyment should come from the awareness that one is fulfilling one's assignment. So, he said the first barrier toward development of zehirus, of diligence, zerizus of diligence, was is to attain a proper outlook on life, and that it is the goal is not indulgence. Oid min mafsidi azrizus, another interference with diligence. Hu roiv hapachad v'goydel hamoira min hazman v'sodel doisov, is a excess of anxiety and fear and worry about what time may bring. Kipam Yirameh Kerachayim, a person may develop a fear of weather. He may develop a fear of machzapagoyim, fear of accidents, pam mechalon, fear of disease, pam minoruach, fear of wind, v'chenkal yoytze bazar, anything that a person can develop fears of. And these things can be serious obstacles to his accomplishing anything. As Shlomo HaMelech said, Omer Otzel, a indolent person, a lazy person, says, well, how can I go out? Chachal badera. There's a lion on the road. Ari ben Archaivas. There's a lion in the ways. V'kvaginu chachonim zachonim levoch amid azois. This attitude was condemned by the Talmud, and they referred to this as rationalizations, whereby a person seeks to excuse himself from his obligations. V'yichasu alachatoim, and they attribute this to people who are sinful, umikro mesayim, and they support this with a verse from the prophets, the Siv, it says in Isaiah, Pachadu v'tzion chatoim. In Zion, the sinners are fearful. Echzev odom chanefim, the ungodly people. A trembling has hold of them. Ashama echad menagdelem ol tamida beroises mispachad. That happened that one of the Talmudic sages saw one of his students who was in a state of fear, and he said, Chatorat, you're lazy, you're sinful. Alzeh, and this is why it says, B'tach b'ashem v'ure v'aseh toiv, you trust in God, you will do good. Shchon v'eretz, dwell on the land, and ure amunah, and cultivate faith. And what he's not talking about here is a normal fear, as we'll shortly see, nor even a pathological anxiety, which is a condition which a person may need some help with. He's talking about the rationalization, the excuses that a person will allow himself to explain away why he's doing things. There's a rehabilitation center where the practice is that any time a person says, I can't, whatever it is, he is stopped and he has to rephrase his statement to say, I don't want to. Now, there are some things that we can't do. I cannot flap my hands like wings, like a bird, and fly in the air. But many other things where a person says, I can't, it's not really I can't, but I don't want to, and he or she sees it as I can't. We have a poster up in Gateway which shows birds in flight, and underneath the statement, they fly because they think they can. And many people hesitate to do something because they believe, and maybe sincerely so, that they believe they can't do it. Whereas the fact is that they don't want to do it. If they want to do it, they would make the effort. But because they don't want to do it, they develop the attitude that it can't be done, and they have a fear of it. And this is the fear that he is talking about, and brings down the example from Proverbs, where the guy gives the excuse, well, how can I go out? If I go out, I'll probably get hit by a car. It's a good excuse for staying home. Proverbs Shadova, the general rule is to summarize. A person should see himself as essentially being a temporary dweller in this world whose permanent job is to do the service of Hashem. Therefore, Yisratze v'yistabek b'chol inyan o'elem b'mashem izdameloi, to be satisfied and have it suffice. Whatever worldly goods he has should be enough. And let him take from that which is available to him in order to live. And distance himself from a search, from a pursuit of tranquility, b'korav l'mlocha l'amal, let himself consider himself closer to work and to labor, b'nochen liba batuach b'Hashem, and have a firm faith in Hashem, b'la'irim etoldos hazman b'gov, and not have fear of the future and what the future may bring. Many people are paralyzed by fear of the future. A person who has bitachon in Hashem to the degree that one trusts in Hashem, to that degree one can be free of unnecessary fears. Shema Toima, you might ask, well, what do you mean to be free of fears? Doesn't the Talmud tell us that a person should be cautious and take good care of himself, not put himself into jeopardy, into dangerous situations, even if he knows he's a righteous person, has many mitzvahs, and that he may consider himself deserving of divine protection? Nevertheless, the Chachamim say, don't put yourself in a position of jeopardy and expect Hashem to extricate you from it. The Yomun, they said, Hakova de Shemayim, everything is in the hands of God, except putting yourself, exposing yourself to extreme heat and extreme cold, and expect not to become ill from it. So he says, now, doesn't that fly in the face of what we're saying? So go out to the cold and trust in Hashem. So Tzamikha Kosu, the Talmud, the Pesuk says, V'nishmatem ma'od v'nafshe seichem, that you're supposed to be extremely careful and very watchful of your health, right? So that you don't conclude that I can do whatever is necessary and Hashem will protect me. Even for a mitzvah, you're not exposed, allowed to expose yourself to a dangerous situation. There's an apocryphal story that Rav Chaim used to use chain at the Seder, and used to apparently used it on whole chain, whole horseradish, and that later on in life was told that it's extremely dangerous for him, and the children pleaded with him not to. And the story goes, and I don't have reason to believe it's not true, but at least it's a good story, that he picked up the chayin and started to say the bracha. He started to say, Hashem kibishonu b'mitzvos v'tzivonu, Hashem commanded us, and finished the bracha, v'nishmatem lo'id l'nafshei seichem, Hashem commanded us to be very careful of our health. And he put the chayin down and did not eat it. Now, the story, I don't believe that the story is true. But the idea, nevertheless, is an interesting one, that he was willing to make a brocha over a mitzvah, and the mitzvah was to take care of one's health, and to bypass the mitzvah of Moab. So he says, I talked about betocha now, and trust in Hashem, and Hashem will protect you not to have fear. So he says, and yet how do we reconcile that with the idea of, even when confronted with a opportunity to do a mitzvah, not to expose yourself to danger? So he says, da, you should understand, ki yesh yira v'yesh yira, there are two kinds of fears. Yesh yira v'uya, there's a proper fear, which is reasonable. V'yesh yira shaitan, there's a foolish kind of fear. Yesh b'tochen, there is trust. V'yesh halelus, there is recklessness. Recklessness is not b'tochen. I'll jump out the window and Hashem will save me. I mean, that's crazy. Kine Odan Baruchu, Hashem also is Odan Baal Sechel Nochon. Hashem gave a person a intelligent mind, Usvoran Achaycha, and proper thought, L'shiini Gatzmei Al Derech Toiv, that he should conduct himself in a proper fashion, B'yishamah Min Advorim Amazikim, and should guard himself from the kinds of dangerous things that can harm a person. Dangers are there so that if a person behaves improperly, he will bring upon himself the harmful consequences of his improper behavior. So yes, harmful things do exist in the world. However, if a person does not want to behave wisely and leave himself open to danger, that is not trust in Hashem, that's recklessness, and then he is sinful, that he is doing against the will of Hashem in exposing himself to danger, where the mitzvah is that you're supposed to take proper precautions for your health, and if a person does not take proper precautions, then he is violating the mitzvah. My father told me that my great-grandfather's besmedrish, there was an individual who was who had heart disease, and Yom Kippur, during the day Yom Kippur, whatever time of day it was, I don't recall, my great-grandfather sent the shamus over to tell him that it's time for him to go eat something. So he told the shamus that he does not feel weak, and she's no need to eat. So shamus came back with a message, so he says, go back and tell him that I told him it's time to eat. And he went back, comes back in a second time. He says he'll eat as soon as he feels himself weak, but right now he feels fine. So Zaydi got up and he walked across to the smedlis. And he said to him, look, if you will do what I tell you, he says, you'll have Gan Eden. And he says, but if you're not going to listen and you're not going to eat, he says, you'll be so far down in Gehenna that the Manasseh will not be able to schlep you out of it. Right? So, the idea is that when, whatever the title says a person is supposed to do, that is what a person is supposed to do. And if it's placing himself in a sakona to fast or placing himself in the sakonas to do anything else, the individual is not allowed to violate. Not allowed to violate that. I remember in one situation where my father was ill, and it was necessary for him to drink on Yom Kippur. And he did not have to eat, but only to drink. And so he told me that if all I need is fluid, so why do I have to drink? Why can't I just have an intravenous? So I called Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky's Talmud, and I asked him. And he said, no way. He says, if al pi din, according to the rule of the title, the person is supposed to drink, he says, then you don't look for ways to circumvent it. He says, as good as intravenous is, he says, artificial is not natural. And the Torah doesn't tell you to look for artificial ways. So he says, you're doing what you're supposed to do. And, one is, in that case, drinking is as much observance of Torah as fasting is for the person who's able to fast. But even so, it comes out, Shemavada Sakona Mumut Bas. A person who will expose himself to danger is in it. So, in addition to the actual danger that he is exposing himself, he now has created another evil. He's now guilty of transgressing a avera of not caring for himself. So the punishment of the sin lies in the sin itself. He's exposing himself to danger and will suffer the consequences of his foolishness and his recklessness by virtue of not taking care of himself. The ulam hashmira hazois. The proper type of protection of oneself. And the kind of fear for one's welfare, for one's safety, that is based on wisdom and on proper thought He haruya, that is what I refer to as a healthy fear. Shaleonema, and this is what is referred to in Proverbs, when the Pusik says, Orum roa roa venista, a wise person saw evil coming, and so he hid from it. Upsoyim obruven anoshu, and fools pass on and are punished. So if there's a hurricane warning or a tornado watch, the wise person follows precautions and protects himself, whereas the fool exposes himself into danger. Achayira hashaitahu, what I refer to as an improper fear, as the fear of fools, sheyiha hodam roitzel ahoysev shmiros al shmiros, the person takes absurd precautions, v'yira al yira, and he piles on fear on top of fear, and takes precaution upon precaution, that the result is idleness and neglect of Torah and Avodah. Someplace you have to draw the line between what's proper and what's excessive. Very clearly, I would like anybody who is in charge of my safety or my health to take proper precautions. And when I get into an airplane, I would like to know that the pilot has looked at all the dials and that everything is in order before he takes off. But I also want to go someplace. And if he's going to sit there for 6 hours checking the dials because he's unsure that everything's working properly, then he's got a problem, and I don't need that kind of problem. We had a situation with a nurse in the hospital who was terribly fearful of making a medication error. And each time she took out a little medication card to give the medication, she would go back and check the chart and make sure that that's what the chart says. And then if she thought, well, maybe she had the wrong chart, she'd check it a second time and a third time. And then she would put the medication in the little medicine cup and then go back and check the bottle again as to see whether it was the right medication that she took. So the medications, which were due to be given at 6 o'clock, were given at 6:45 or at 7. And things just got consistently worse. Eventually she would give people the medication and then ask them to give it back to her and check it again. And then finally got to the point where, patients were complaining about this mishigas. And then it got to the point where the patient had taken the medication in his mouth, and she stopped him. Please don't swallow it. And made the patient take the medication back out and check it again. Now, at what point is it proper check and proper safety, and at what point does it become self-defeating? Now, I don't know that anybody can say 2 minutes is enough and 2.5 minutes is too much. But there does have to be some sort of balance and some sort of proper judgment as to what is reasonable precaution and at what point does it become a compulsive neurosis which is self-defeating. The person never gets anything done. And this is what he's talking about here. He says that there is a proper degree of safety and that there is a kind of a fear that exceeds all bounds, and a person can take so many precautions that one will never get anything done, and then it becomes self-defeating. To be continued.